pray that may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Father, we pray that you will just speak to us. Lord, any words that is from you, Father, may it bear fruit. Whatever that is not from you, Lord, may it be just scattered in the winds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, just a bit of what we will be doing. Just pray for us because we will be doing a lot of outreach. We are invited into Myanmar to different villages there. And I have since bought a few through the generous gift of GI. I bought a few small data projector. It's cheap, but good. So we are bringing that in into the village to show the Jesus film. And a lot of these people, they have not even watched a movie before. So it will be very strange for them. But pray, because we want to take every opportunity to reach out with the Word of God. We are not there to show ourselves, but we want to honor the Lord. We want them to know who we are representing. So pray for us that we will get opportunity to spread the word of the Lord, because we don't know how much more time we have before the Lord comes back. So much for that. You know, this morning, when Paul asked me to share, he says, you want to preach before you go or after you come back? I thought, no, I'll, because these things have been in my heart for a while. Because, you know, through the Friday group with Shu, we have been taught to meditate. And I've been meditating on this this passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 9 to 11. And it has been speaking to me. There's this guy by the name of Arthur Stace. He's born in 1885. And he's one of the most remarkable person that make the history of the city of Sydney. He was a down and out, addicted to mentholated spirit, was a destitute roaming the street of Sydney in 1920. He has no fixed place to sleep, but he eventually recovered and became a dynamic believer for the Lord. Just a bit of his story. When he grew up, he had the odd stack against him. He was born into an alcoholic family, and as a boy, he was forced to steal, eat food scrap from garbage bin to survive. He became a ward of state, an alcoholic at the age of 15, and he was put into prison. And in 1916, he was enlisted as a soldier in the First World War. But following his discharge in 1919, he returned back to Sydney and continued being an alcoholic. He became a total destitute, a hopeless drunk. He only attended church occasionally so that he can get free meal. But a major change came into his life in 1932 when he heard a sermon preached by the evangelist John Ridley, who spoke about eternity. Ridley challenged them. This is what Ridley said: "Eternity, eternity. I wish that I could sound or shout that word to everyone in the streets of Sydney. You've got to meet it. Where will you spend eternity?" At that point, Stace claimed he received a powerful calling from the Lord to take the message of eternity out onto the street of Sydney. Not by shouting, but by writing. And from that point on, he put the bottle down and became sober. For the next 35 years, he would rise early and visit various locations in the city, writing in chalk the word eternity. In an immaculate copper plate style, he wrote on the footpaths, seats, billboards, doorway, in fact, any flat, smooth surface that would take chalk, he would write. Because he believed he was doing the word of the Lord. And he would dress in his best outfit, a threadbare suit, battered felt hair, collar and tie. It's a figure that people see in the morning, early morning in Sydney. And the regular appearance of this graffiti all around town aroused curiosity. They were wondering, what does this word mean? Then one day, the mystery was solved. Stairs were seen by Reverend Lyles Thompson writing the word on a footpath and notify a newspaper reporter. His story eventually appeared in the Sydney Telegraph in June 1956. To the delight of the Sydney public, Stays was dubbed Mr. Eternity, and he died in 1967 at age 82. It is estimated that he wrote Eternity more than 500,000 times in his career. And his incredible work was celebrated early on New Year's Day 2000 when the word eternity appeared in a firework display on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. The question I want to ask you this morning, have you ever considered how you will spend eternity? You know, I answer for myself, I have never even thought of that. You know, for the believers, the question is not where will you spend eternity, but how you will spend eternity. We know that we will spend eternity with the Lord, right? But how will you spend it? You will not be judged on what you did, but you will be judged on the light of what you are called to do. You will not be judged on what you did, but you will be judged in the light of what we are all called to do. We will all stand one day before the Lord, whether we like it or not. And through it, that will mean how we will spend eternity. Let's read this passage. 2 Corinthians, meditate on it. 2 Corinthians 9:11. This is taken from the New Living Translation. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal or our aim is to please Him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will receive whatever we deserve for good or evil. We have done this in this earthly body because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord. We work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere. And I hope you know this too. You know, in the Amplified Version, I read to you in the Amplified Version. It says, therefore, whether we are at home or away from home, it is our ambition to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. And then they add, that is, each will be held responsible for his action, purposes, goals, the use or misuse of time, opportunity, and ability. This judgment that we are talking about, it is not a judgment where God judged the sinners. No. Because our sin as believers, our sin is taken away by the Lord. And our God, our Lord Jesus, stands before the Father to be judged on behalf of us. I'm not talking about that judgment. This is the Bema seat of judgment. You know, the judgment seat that is translated in this Greek word is the Bema. It is. This word was actually taken from the Isthmian game, where the contestant would compete for a prize under the careful scrutiny of judges, who would make sure that every rule of the contest was obeyed. The victor of a given event, who participated according to the rules, was led by the judge to a platform called the Bema. There, the laurel wreath was placed on his head as a symbol of victory. In all this passage, Paul was actually picturing the believers as a competitor in a spiritual contest. As the victorious Greek athlete present himself before the Bema seat to receive something that is perishable. You know, the wreath, I don't think it lasts long. It's not like the gold medal we get at the Olympic Games now. But we will stand before the Lord on this seat to receive something that is imperishable. It is a reward. When we stand before the Lord will tell us, well, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the master. Or something else, I don't know. Because he's not going to judge us for our sin, but he is going to give us the prize. You know, many of us today, we are building our life on something else rather than the eternal word of God. We are building our life on cultural tradition, assumption, emotional feelings that doesn't benefit us. I'm sure many of us desire to make our life count for the Lord. How many of you want to make your life count for the Lord? Because time that is misused, time that is wasted, can never be recovered. Once the sun goes down, it's gone. Once the sun goes down, it's gone. It's gone. Let me ask you another question. In view of us coming before the Lord on Judgment Day, I would like to ask you a very, very personal question. Where are you laying your treasure? Where are you laying your treasure? In Matthew 6, 19 to 24, it says, do not store for yourself materials, things, or treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. This is where your heart is. You know, a few weeks ago, myself and Eileen and myself, we attended a funeral of a missionary, a lady missionary with YWAM. She died of cancer. It's just unfortunate. And there was a big husky man. Well, he's actually one of the an evangelist, and he was asked to share the message. And his message that he shared was very simple, to the point. This is what he says, and I was quite stunned. He says, if heaven is real, why are we all fighting and struggling to stay on this earth? Isn't that true? If heaven is real, why are we fighting to stay on this earth? You know, many of us, when we go to see a doctor, and doctor says, oh, I've got bad news for you. You know, you are suffering from incurable disease, from this, and our whole life just crumbled. You know, one good example in my life is my mother-in-law. She's a very godly woman. It's just unfortunate that I didn't enjoy her much, because she passed away many years ago. How long? Before Lyle was born, about 20 over years. She's actually UL's favorite. UL always liked to play with grandma. But this woman is someone that I respected. She was diagnosed with lung cancer. And she's a very godly woman. She prays and all this. And lo and behold, one day, when we were in Singapore, my wife said, Mom, I'm taking you to a healing service. And she says, why would I want to be healed? So she says, Mom, you're very selfish, you know, and all this. She said, why would I want to be healed? I'm going to meet my Savior. And 1 year later, she died. You know, to me, for this lady, she knows her destiny. You know, there's an old song, very old song. You know, if I sing this song, you know, it will date me. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. This is not our home. So the question I want to ask, where are we laying our treasures? So if heaven is real, just meditate on it. Why are we fighting to stay in this sin-stricken world? You know, I remember a message from Paul. Remember once he was preaching, and he says, there was this man, he died, and he went to heaven. And Peter brought him up, and he was taking a stroll, and he saw this mansion. He says, this must be mine. He went. He said, no, that's not yours. So then he went to another slightly smaller one. He said, this must be mine. No. And then went to a third one, until he finally came to a small hut. And say, that's yours. And the man asked Peter, he says, it's not fair, you know. Why not the big mansion? He said, well, because you didn't send enough material up. Yeah, you may laugh, but that's true. Because, he says, do not store for yourself treasures on earth, but store for yourself treasures in heaven. You know, we may think it's funny, but when you get up there, the joke will be on you. It would not be very funny. So, if we stand before the judgment seat of the Lord today, if you were to stand before God today, are you able to stand there with confidence? Can you stand there with confidence and knowing that you have run the race well? Or are you, or will you stand there with fear and trembling, not knowing what lies before you? In John 1 John 4:17, he says, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here on this earth. The you know, just look at that last sentence. We live like Jesus in this world. How are we like Jesus in this world? Ask yourself this question. Do we live like Jesus? The key that gives us the confidence, Paul says, is the love of God being made perfect as we live in God. Our love grows more perfect. You know, from the normal usage of this word, we would take it not to mean that our love is flawless, but that it is God's love being put into action. God's love reaching its point in practical human love. As a human being, we can't love like God loved. Can anyone love like God loved? If you can, I would like to sit under your feet. None of us will be able to love like God's love. But here it says that if we live in God, our love grows more perfect. And what does it mean? Perfect love is not just incomplete idea, emotions in our heart. It is completed. It is love being put into action. You know, like my wife says, when I say happy birthday or happy anniversary, and she will say, don't say that. Put your love into action. He said, if you love me and put it into action, every day is a birthday, every day is an anniversary. And I think this is what God wants us. We don't tell the people, oh, you know, God love you, and do nothing. So perfect love is when we just don't talk about the needs to share Christ. We do it. And I'm glad that we have a group formed to evangelize in this church. And I think that is the main command that God wants us to make disciples. God didn't ask us to come and warm the seat of the chair. God wants us to be out there to share. And we just don't talk about hungry. We go out there and feed these people. And we just don't talk about floundering new believers. We disciple them. And so on. So complete love, perfected love, is not just from our mouth. We put our words into action. When we see a need, we just don't talk about it. We do it. So the key is to know what the Lord desires and look for. Not what seems good to society or human reasoning. You know, in Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to die to self. You know, I remember a message that I preached to an Indonesian church. It's about a caterpillar. For a caterpillar to become a butterfly, how many of you know how the caterpillar become a butterfly? I will tell you. You know that the caterpillar, they will eat and eat and eat until it gets so fat that it just can't eat anymore, and it starts spinning a cocoon inside. And you know what happened inside the cocoon? The whole thing will just, or rather the caterpillar will just eat itself. Until there's a DNA, something like that, and to form. The caterpillar actually die to self. And after a while, the whole thing transforms, become a butterfly. Here, Romans 12:2 is actually telling us that we have to die to self, so that we can renew our minds and be transformed. So do not conform, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, what may seem good to our culture here may be offensive to God. Let me illustrate. In Holland, it is legal for the people to put in their possession marijuana, and for them to smoke freely. Not a problem in Holland. It's legal. Just imagine this: a Dutchman smoking marijuana every day in Holland, make a trip to Singapore. And then he found some friends, and he told his newfound friends in Singapore, he says, try this. It's very good. It will help you. It will liberate you. And very soon, the police come after him. He'll be shocked. Hey man, what are you trying to do? So very soon the judgment day come, and the judge says, I pronounce you guilty. And he thought, hey, this is a joke. And he stand up, he tell the judge, in Holland, I can do that. It's legal. And the judge says, this is not Holland, this is Singapore. It's legal there, but it's not legal here. So when we think that it's okay for us to do things here, it may be offensive to God. So when we stand before the judgment, you may say, well, Lord, you know, it's okay here in this world. But God says, you're not no longer in this world. You're in my world. You're in my kingdom. It's legal here, it's not legal there. So you get the illustration. There will be more than one judgment. There'll be a judgment for unbelievers, there'll be a judgment for believers. And the decision will vary. There'll be loss and punishment. In 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, he says, do you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for the eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself may be disqualified. Paul clearly says, I run with purpose in every step. This exactly what the Lord wants us to do. Do we run with purpose or we are just running aimlessly? Do you know that in this race, you do not compete with others? Don't look at others, oh, I'm actually better than David, so I should be okay. I'm not competing with David, I'm competing with myself. We are competing with ourselves. So don't judge yourself looking at others and think, oh, I'm better than so and so, so I should be okay. You know, many of us will be shocked when we stand before Jesus at Judgment Day. And the greatest number will not be the unbelievers. It will be the believers. It will be the believers. Many will be surprised and shocked that they have spent majority of their time doing things that is not come for eternity. You know, that's why I really appreciate what Shu is doing for our home group. When we look at Scripture, we take security in certain teaching in Scripture, but we neglect to do a thorough search. And I think we have a very good teacher here. Paul's gifting is teaching. And it is good that we search the Scripture ourselves. Not just take part. You know, there was once a preacher, this is what he says. Read. Do not read what you believe, but believe what we read. Do not read what you believe, but believe what we read. You know, when we read the Bible, do we read with a colored lenses? Oh, so-and-so say this, so-and-so say that, so it must mean that. We read the scripture as it is. We don't try to add in, subtract, or so-and-so say this, so-and-so say that. And I think it's very important for us to do that. That we, if the Bible says this, what you do this is sin, this is what it means. It doesn't mean another thing. So believe what you read and do not just read what you believe. You know, the question I want to leave you this morning, do you want to find out the truth about eternity now? Or do you want to find out after the judgment? Because when the judgment is being pronounced, it's too late. There's no second chance. We cannot tell the Lord, Lord, send me back to earth. Lord, let me have a second chance. No more second chance. When we stand before the Lord on judgment day, what he pronounced is final. You know, it's not like today's court. We can appeal. We can ask for another hearing. It doesn't work that way. What you do today will determine how you will spend eternity. What you do today will determine how you spend eternity. I leave the decision to you. I'm not trying to convince you to do things that you may not want. And I'm not asking you to stand up so that I can pray for you. But I would like you just to meditate on all these passages that I've given to you. Meditate on it. And ask the Lord, Lord, what have I done that is not right? Help me. You know, in James, God says, if any one of us lack wisdom, ask. If we lack wisdom, ask. We are not wise. That's why the Lord sent His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is here to lead, to guide us. So ask the Lord, help us to understand, to know what you want us to do. So remember, you will not be judged on what you do, but you will be judged on what you are supposed to be doing. You know, all of us, we are given a command by God. You know, many of us, we use excuse, oh, it's not for me. Is for someone else. No, the command is for all believers. If you profess to be a believer, that is for you. Let's just bow our heads and we will help pray and we will just sing this song.
Father, we just I just thank you, Father, for this morning. Lord, we know that all of us will have to give an account of what you have called us to do. And Lord, we don't want to stand before you having no confidence. We don't want to stand before you not knowing what lies ahead. But Lord, I want to stand before you confident, knowing that we live like Christ here on this earth, and that we are not only paying lip service, but our love for you is perfected so that we can put all these things into action. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you and bless you. Father, I just pray for each one here, Lord. Lord, that you will speak to us. Father, that you will instruct us to do the things that is pleasing to you. Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to please you and no one else. That is our desire. I thank you and I bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please send. Jesus. I surrender. Yes, Lord, I just pray that as we sing this song, Lord, may we mean it. Father, that all our ambition, our hope, and our plans, Father, we surrender to you. Lord, hopes, plans, and ambition that is surrendered to you is better than us trying to do things in the flesh. So, Lord, I just thank you. I bless you. Lord, I just pray that this word that you have given to us this morning may grow in our hearts. And as we walk with you each day, may we be mindful of who you are and what you are doing in our life. I just thank you and I bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.